September 11th, 2009, the Norris Group returns with its award-winning event, I Survived Real Estate 2009. For this critical final quarter, the Norris Group has assembled a gold panel of accomplished industry specialists to discuss the impact of seismic economic shifts, head-scratching regulations, challenging legislation, and the accelerated pace of opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. 100% of the proceeds for this unique event support the Orange County affiliate of Susan G. Komen for The Cure. This event would not be possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association and President Bill Tan, Investors Workshop and President Sean Watkins and Angel Bronskiest, Invest Club for Women and Director Iris Veneration, Fry Wiles, the creative agency responsible for iSurvive2009.com, J.K. Short Sales and Kathy Van Sleen, Entrust California and Hugh Bromaw, the Nixon Library, MVT Productions, who always provide the audio-visual needs, the Business Press, airing the event live over the Internet, and White House Catering, who will provide the three-course meal for this black tie event. Visit iSurvive2009.com for more details.
Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Today we're joined by Pat Combs. She's a realtor from Grand Rapids, Michigan. She's the immediate past president of the National Association of Realtors. NAR is America's largest professional association, representing more than 1.3 million members involved in all aspects of the residential and commercial real estate industries. Pat served as NAR's president in 2007 and NAR's president-elect in 2006 and 2005. She was the first vice president. Pat, welcome to our show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You also have a pretty good-sized family. You have combined six kids and four grandkids.
Yeah, and six grandkids now.
Six grandkids.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have to
update
that.
Couple added in the last month or so.
How fantastic is that?
You bet.
Well, you picked an interesting year to be president.
Well, 07 was pretty interesting, but it's not as interesting as today.
Well, that's true. There are so many changes. You know, in 2005 and 6, I probably had to change a hairstylist every 3 months because they quit hairstyling and they went into real estate. Was it just my imagination, or was everyone getting a real estate license?
Well, probably in California and in Florida, those two states, and perhaps Nevada, that is true. Is that true? Was that true in Michigan? No, not really.
Michigan
was a little different animal.
You bring up a very important point in that you could have a very different perspective on things depending where you're from.
Oh, absolutely. I'm from Michigan, and in Michigan, we have been in a down market for maybe 3 or 4 years.
Sure.
Maybe even longer than that. While the values were soaring in Florida, California, and Nevada, and on the two coasts, we were just steady eddies over here, working away and not having the inflationary factors hit us like they did you all.
When someone from Michigan reads a newspaper and they read about all these wonderful profits being made in real estate, do they look around and go, what are they talking about?
Well, you know what happens is you hear national news and you get on the internet and it seems like it's one place serves all.
Exactly.
When you listen to that, and then so when we go as realtors to a listing appointment or working with buyers, they oftentimes expect just exactly that because that's what they heard on the news or that's what they heard on some chat line on the Internet.
That,
so it's a re-education for us.
That would be very difficult to overcome if that was the dominant message about how wonderful things were.
Oh, sure. And that was the dominant message over those years.
In 2006, there was a lot of information coming out of National Association of Realtors that was very positive going into 07.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, I would imagine some of the memberships started to experience something very different in their market. I'm wondering if there was ever, kind of a conflict there of what was being said was fact, and then the reality of what the agents were dealing with and the changes that were taking place, especially in 2007.
Well, that's really true. We had to really watch what we were doing as far as our national ads.
Yes.
We have a fabulous series of television and radio ads that we've used across the country, but we had to be very selective about where we used which ad, because you can't say one thing in one market and expect people to lend credibility to that if that's not what they're experiencing there.
Mm-hmm.
So it used to be you could do one size fits all, and in the last few years you can't. You have to take a look at each market individually and use those ads as appropriate.
In 2009, as we just mentioned, there's some major states having just a very disastrous real estate market. So we're in a severe recession there. And when things go this bad, is there a tendency to create legislation to fix the problem so they never happen again?
Well, I think that you see that a little bit on a national basis.
Yes.
You see people saying, well, and the pendulum has swung from this whole idea about if you can breathe, you can get a loan,
mm-hmm.
to now if you've got really good credit score, you sometimes can't get a loan. I mean, that pendulum didn't come back to the middle where it makes good sense. It swung way on the other side, so that really good, legitimate buyers who have good jobs and good credit ratings are now having a little bit of a tough time getting a loan because of the swing from the craziness of letting anybody, without even checking whether they can pay it back, get a loan.
You've been in the business for quite some time. Were you mm-hmm. surprised that lenders decided that that was okay? Did you ever
yes.
shake your head
yes.
and go, what are they
yes.
thinking?
Yes. As a matter of fact, the National Association of Realtors partnered in 2005 and 2006 with the Center for Responsible Lending and did some surveying and looked at it and said, this is going to be a mess. And we actually went on the Hill and had some press conferences, and I personally testified before Congress in 2006 and 2007 about this very thing. And I think we were responsible. We were responsible that we stood up and said, this isn't right, and there's going to be trouble ahead if you don't fix it. And so I think that we and the association, or the group from Responsible Lending, we partnered with it, and I think we were out front telling the Congress that this was wrong, but that was before it hit.
You know, you mentioned something to me that's very important, this idea of partnering. There's a lot of groups that I think sometimes approach that groups within the real estate umbrella
mm-hmm.
that don't necessarily look at the other groups as partners, where if they did, there probably would be a multiplied effect and maybe get more done for the industry. So
that could be true. I think that often what we did is we met on a one-on-one basis with the leaders of, for instance, the mortgage bankers, the mortgage brokers association, the banking groups. We have one-on-one meetings with them all the time. So there are partnering possibilities going on. We meet with Habitat for Humanity. A lot of the housing-related groups, we even met often with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac just to, see if there weren't things that we could partner with to make the real estate industry stronger and more equitable for the buying public.
I'm just curious, does the investor have any place in any of those meetings? I don't think they do currently, but in other words, is there room for their voice in some of this?
The investor, you mean as far as a buyer or seller?
No, the investor that does multiple properties, that has rentals, that, has a portfolio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious, is there a voice that's heard from that world?
Well, yes, the Rental Property Association and the commercial realtors, And I know that there are major national associations. I can't tell you what the name is because I don't know.
Okay.
But I do know that there's a lot of associations that come together just for specifically for that purpose.
Okay. You kind of just told me that I was wondering how your voice was heard, and you get to go before Congress and make your opinions as a group known.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How long has that been in place, and is that because of an awful lot of effort for a long time?
Well, it really is. The National Association of Realtors just celebrated its 100th birthday,
mm-hmm.
and we have 1,300,000 plus or minus today members that are all over the United States and actually all over the world. What a lot of people don't know is that we've got 64 countries that we have relationships with in writing, where we actually go and meet with, and they come to the U.S. to help them in their real property transactions. And so we've got our headquarters are in Chicago, and we have another building in Washington, D.C., where we have a phenomenal staff of lobbyists that help us with our lobbying efforts as far as bringing real property in the forefront of what's ever happening in D.C.
And I would think that input is really vital, because when you're dealing with people in Congress making decisions, I doubt very seriously they have the time to read a lot of the bills they're about to sign.
Right.
And input from somebody that actually understands real estate has got to be very important to the final conclusion of what's being said on that paper.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, they listen. There's two things they do. They listen to the lobbyists because they're very well respected in Washington. Our lobbying crew gets the highest marks available when they do some of the ratings of lobbyists. But also, we have a phenomenal grassroots group. We've got realtors active in politics. We've got realtors all across the country that if there's a bill coming up and it seems to be not keeping the real property in the forefront, or it would be devastating to property owners, we have the ability to take our realtors who are on the ground in whatever district one of their senators or representatives might be in, and ask them to step up and call or email or write their congressman to help them understand that bill.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The word lobbyist kind of has a negative connotation.
I know.
So, but I mean, and that's probably from ignorance, and I would say that I probably have that in my head. So what does a lobbyist do, on a daily basis? Are they talking to the congressman? They're not taking them out to dinner and golf, I know. So
not anymore. really what we do, and I've seen it firsthand, is that they help educate. And if nothing else, they can take a 400-page document, take a look at it, and hone it down to real usable information to help that congressman or senator make a good decision.
That's what
it is, really.
So they can with their experience, mm-hmm. they read a 50-page document and say, in essence, in a one page, this is what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
exactly.
Okay. That's very good. That's good to know. Often hastily created legislation can have unintended consequences.
Big time.
HVCC is one of them, in my opinion. How has the Home Valuation Code of Conduct impacted the market?
Well, I think we're just going to start seeing what happens with that one.
Okay.
And I will say this just as a realtor in the field. What we're finding is that it is going to try us big time. What I'm finding in my own marketplace is that the appraisals that we used to get with knowledgeable, good appraisers who are in our marketplace are being uprooted, and there's a new agency that's been formed or a new third party that's been formed where all of the appraisals have to go through that, and they're using appraisers who are hungry because, let's face it, the real estate market's down and there aren't as many appraisals being done. So what we're finding is that appraisers from way outside our market area who don't know our market and don't understand our marketplace are coming in, and because they can get a place on this list, are being used in our marketplace to value properties.
And they're also getting paid considerably less than they would have normally.
Yes, indeed. And so I just think it's a bad way of doing business. You know, I see where they came from in wanting to do something like this, because what they wanted is a totally impartial appraisal,
right,
which we all want and we all agree with. But someone can't do an impartial appraisal if you don't know the market. And it's a pretty scary thing for us selling real estate out here, because you can sell the house, you've got a buyer and seller who agree on the price, and I'll tell you, in my marketplace, buyers are not paying more than they should for houses. And once that transaction's together, we've gotten through all the inspections, we get the mortgage ready to go, and they go out, and somebody from outside our marketplace appraises it for way less. The whole transaction's done.
We, as an investor, we run across that a problem every time. We probably deal with 50 properties or so a year that we buy and sell, and fix them up perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing. We're getting our appraisals, and we look at the comps, and their three vacant REOs are being compared to our house that has granite in it.
Exactly.
And you just shake your head and go, what happened to the market value decision of a buyer?
Yes,
that doesn't count anymore?
I know.
Well, I've heard rumor that there may be a postponement of HVCC. I think maybe an annulment would be better.
I'm with you. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I know that we've got our members working very, very diligently. Our current NAR president, Charles McMillan from Texas, has been meeting with folks in Washington and New York, and he has been right on the front lines talking about this, and hopefully there will be some changes.
First-time buyer tax credit, how important has that been for business?
Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. And we would just love it if there would be some way to get that to be all buyers, not just a first-time home buyer.
Including investors?
I say yes.
Okay.
I don't know that that would happen, but I honestly think that even that would be a really good positive for our marketplace. What I've seen in my marketplace is that first-time home buyers who hadn't been thinking about it are now front and foremost. We're getting rid of a lot of our inventory on the marketplace that's that starter market,
mm-hmm.
and what that's doing is starting to trickle up.
Sure.
And so we're getting rid of a lot of inventory that's been sitting there. Those folks now can, now that they've sold, can move up in the marketplace. And I think it has stimulated our marketplace beautifully. And I'd love to see it be permanent, and I would love to see it even be more if we could get it.
More as far as dollar amount?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then also expanded to not just the person that hasn't lived in a home for 3 years, but anybody that buys a home.
Exactly.
I think that's a great idea. You know, and it's different than having the subprime borrower and the stated income loans, because these people are having to qualify.
Oh, absolutely. And they have to have their they have to have a down payment.
Correct.
They can now use the $8,000 tax credit as part of their closing costs, but it's a pretty rigorous deal to do that. You get a loan, and then you have to pay the loan back when you get the $8,000. It can be done. I'm not seeing too many people doing that, but I am seeing a lot of first-time home buyers or people who haven't owned in the last 3 years step up to the plate.
FHA is once again becoming a very dominant player in the financing market.
It is.
And do you see any changes in that program that you'd like to see in place?
Well, one of the things that's really important for FHA is the maximum price. And that has been something that we've been working on for years, and it's just pushing that loan limit up so that more people can qualify. For years, no one in the whole state of California could get a FHA loan
because
it was all too expensive.
It wouldn't even pay for the garage.
True.
It's no longer true. Now it buys the whole block. But
that's what we're doing, is that we're trying to get that loan limit increased permanently so that we could actually use it in many of the states that need help with their mortgages. I'm using FHA on almost every one of my sales right now, and that didn't happen before.
No, that's true. Almost all of our sales are definitely FHA. They have a few programs that drive me nuts. One of them is when I buy a home and I fix it and I do it too quickly,
mm-hmm.
I'm not allowed to sell it to a person mm-hmm. that uses an FHA loan until 90 days passes.
Yeah.
Because there's an assumption that I must have committed fraud.
Yeah.
That's aggravating.
Yes.
I guess we can't fix everything.
No, but I thought they were discussing that. So
I hope
there
so.
Might be some changes coming forward there.
Yeah, please invite me one of these days to Congress with you, and I'll put in a good word for investors.
There we go.
There is a loan that's in place for owner-occupants right now, a 203K loan,
mm-hmm.
where they can buy a property that needs work. I'm just curious, are you seeing many of those loans
no.
in your market?
No.
No, okay.
As a matter of fact, I'm not an authority on this, but I did just talk to a lender and ask them, because I've got a young gal who wants to buy a house and the house needs work, and he didn't even suggest that. So, and she's going FHA. Because I said, isn't there some sort of loan out there that she could use to do that? And he indicated that right now there wasn't anything available. So I don't know.
There is one available. It's called the Streamlined FHA 203K.
Yeah, right.
And it's probably 90 days to qualify for it. It's a difficult process.
Well, then it's a little bit like buying a short sale, because that takes 5 or 6 months.
Yeah, so it's only you get the financing. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that is interesting. When we need the most help with maybe not generous financing, but at least reasonable financing,
mm-hmm.
they're reining it in, making it very difficult.
Exactly.
Only down to another minute and a half. Interest deductions, are you afraid that they might poke around and try and get some tax dollars out of that?
Yeah, that's a little scary. I have to say that I know that whenever they do legislation and they free up some money on one side, they always have to take it away somewhere else. And I would have to say that I would be totally opposed to monkeying at all with the mortgage interest deduction. I know that the current administration's kind of been looking at it, and they've been talking about reining it in on the higher income or higher cost houses. I think it would be a mistake. This market needs as much as it can get and needs to be shored up, not pulled down. And I think that might have a devastating effect on some of these markets that are just starting to come back.
I would agree. And well, down to about a half a minute. I hope they leave the 1031 exchange and the capital gain rate as well.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, Pat Combs, thank you so much for joining us, the past president of the National Association of Realtors. And we look forward to seeing you at our event in September.
I'm looking forward to it, too.
All right, Pat. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate 2009. 1M1 Properties, Dalmay Properties, Elite Auctions, the Inland Empire Investors Forum, Las Brisas Escrow, Los Angeles Event Center, The Mortgage Equity Group, Mike Cantu, Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, North San Diego Real Estate Investors Association, Real Wealth Network, Realty 411 Magazine, San Jose Real Estate Investors Association, the REO Mentor Tony Alvarez, Westin South Coast Plaza, Women's Council of Realtors Inland Valley Chapter. To find out more about I Survived Real Estate 2009 and how you can get involved, visit isurvived2009.com.